Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the third Sunday of Easter. Fiddler on the Roof is a musical set in the Tsarist Russia in 1905. The story centers on Tevye, the father of five daughters who owned a milk business, and his attempts to maintain his family and his Jewish religious traditions while outside influences encroach upon their lives. There is a very tender and moving scene in the play when one day Tevye comes home into the house and asks his wife,
"Do you love me?"
"Do I what?"
"Do you love me?"
"Do I love you?"
"Well?"
"With our daughters getting married and this trouble in the town, you're upset, you're worn out. Go inside, go lie down. Maybe it's indigestion."
No, Golda, I'm asking you a question. "Do you love me?"
"You're a fool."
"I know. But do you love me?"
"Do I love you?"
"Well?"
"For 25 years I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked your cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now?"
"Golda, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared.
I was shy.
I was nervous."
"So was I.
But my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other. And now I'm asking, Golda, do you love me?"
"I'm your wife."
"I know. But do you love me?"
"Do I love him?"
"Well?"
"For 25 years I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is?"
"Then you love me."
"I suppose I do."
"Then I suppose I love you too. It doesn't change a thing, but even so, after 25 years, it's nice to know."
"Do you love me?" is the same question Jesus is asking Peter in the closing scene of the Gospel of John. Today's Gospel narrative shows us the rehabilitation of Peter, who denied Jesus three times in the courtyard of Caiaphas, and Jesus' conferring of primacy in the church on him. The Gospel also shows us God in search of man, even when man tries to evade him. This theme prompted Francis Thompson to write his famous mystic poem, The Hound of Heaven. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles tells us how the Spirit of the risen Lord transformed Peter, whom Jesus appointed head of his church, from being a coward into serving as a brave witness to his resurrection. The second reading from the book of Revelations presents John's version of the risen Lord as the glorified Lamb of God enthroned in heaven. Using rich imagery, John explains that Jesus has done something unprecedented and has given us more than we deserve. Hence, the angels sing praises around God's throne. The book of Revelations is an expression of Christian hope in the risen Lord. The Gospel tells us the post-resurrection story of our merciful Savior, who goes in search of his band of disappointed and dejected disciples. In the first part of today's Gospel, the risen Jesus appears to his disciples and gives them a symbol of their mission in a miraculous catch of fish, followed by a grilled fish breakfast prepared by Jesus himself. The second part is a dialogue between Jesus and Simon. Three times Jesus asks Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" as if in reparation for his triple denial of Jesus. The two metaphors used in the story, namely fishing and shepherding, are duties of the church referring to a missionary work. Peter, as a forgiven sinner, is chosen as a leader in a community of friends for the quality of his love. As his primary mission, he is given the care of the vulnerable lambs and sheep, and he is told that the fidelity to this mission will lead him to martyrdom. The primary purpose in recounting this appearance of the risen Christ to his apostles was to rehabilitate Peter, who denied Jesus three times, and to stress the actual conferring of primacy in the church on Peter. We realize that the risen Christ was the one who planned and directed the missionary activities of the early church. We can be certain that the risen Lord himself leads and directs his church today throughout the encouragement, guidance, and protection of his Holy Spirit, as he did for the apostles and has done for their successors down through the ages in their missionary endeavors. Peter returns to his old way of life, trying perhaps to forget the disastrous events of the crucifixion of his master. This post-resurrection appearance of Jesus reminds us of an earlier incident in his ministry, namely the call of Peter and the other disciples after their night of fishing in the Sea of Galilee. In both instances, Jesus asks the disciples to cast their nets into the sea a second time. In both cases, they catch a large number of fish, and in both incidents, Jesus invites Peter to follow him. The return of the apostles to their old occupation sets the stage for the next stage of their conversion. Eventually, they come to understand that the stranger on the shore directing them to a tremendous catch of fish actually is the Lord. They recognize him, and soon afterwards, the disciples eat a meal with Jesus. Though later followers of Jesus narrowed the Eucharist into a formal ritual in which everyone shares a small piece of consecrated bread and a sip of consecrated wine, his first disciples celebrated his resurrected presence with a complete meal. Jesus authenticated their work by adding to the meal some of the fish they had caught. It was at this point that they realized that their Lord was among them, imparting to them the experience of his glorified presence. Since then, the church has followed Jesus' example by feeding, clothing, housing, and educating people. Our concern for people's physical needs not only relieves human suffering, but also constitutes a powerful spiritual witness. One of the features of the stories about the appearance of Jesus after his resurrection is that they nearly always end up with Jesus commissioning someone. The presence of Jesus is strongly linked with the sense of calling. Peter denied Jesus three times on the night of Jesus' arrest, and now Jesus is offering him three chances to redeem himself. So Jesus first dealt with Peter's sin and then commissioned him to work on his behalf. Jesus asks twice if Peter loves him with deeper, stronger, and more sacrificial kind of agape love, and not mere filial love, involving brotherly love or friendship. In any event, the one thing about which Jesus questioned Peter prior to commissioning him to tend the flock was love. This is the basic qualification for Christian service. Other qualities may be desirable, but love is completely indispensable. By this triple confession, Peter is restored to the leadership position from which he had fallen by his triple denial. Furthermore, it is proclaimed that he is indeed a pastor who shows his love for Christ in feeding Christ's sheep, a recycling of denial into affirmation. Peter's rehabilitation is a celebration of divine grace. As the shepherd appointed by the true shepherd to do as he did to care for the sheep, Peter also symbolizes leadership. Feed my lambs will continue to be the agenda of the post-resurrection church until the risen Lord appears in glory.
Rescued me when I was through. When I reminisce those other years, emptiness, heartaches, and many tears. Lord, I do love you more every day. Every day.
What messages for life do we get from today's liturgy? First of all, we need to open our eyes and ears and hearts wide to see, hear and experience the risen Lord coming to our life in various forms, circumstances and events. Like the risen Lord gives us success and achievements, the risen Lord is present in our pain and suffering. The risen Lord is visiting us through our friends and well-wishers, and the risen Lord is present in our Christian worship. Secondly, let us compensate for our moments of weakness. By genuine acts of love, compassion, and service, Peter was called upon to prove his love. What do our present actions and activities say about our love for Christ? The risen Jesus accepts our apology, dismisses the charges against us, exonerates us of guilt, and forgives all our weaknesses. He continues to challenge us to demonstrate our love for Him by faithfully, freely feeding His sheep entrusted to our care.
Oh, that thirst that gnawed me deep within drove me seeking satisfaction. Oh, the many things that I have tried left me thirsting and dissatisfied.
A well-known speaker began a seminar by holding up a $20 bill. He asked his audience, "Who would like to have this $20 bill?" Hands started going up. He then said, "I am going to give this $20 bill to one of you, but first, let me do this." He proceeded to crumple the dollar note. He then asked, "Who still wants it?" The hands remained in the air. "Well," he added, "what if I do this?" He dropped it to the floor and proceeded to grind it with his shoe. He picked it up, crumpled and dirty. "Now, who still wants it?" Still a few hands were raised because the bill had not decreased in value. It was still worth $20. Many times in our lives we feel crumpled and ground into dirt by the decisions we make and the circumstances that come our way. We feel as though we are worthless. No matter what has happened to us, however, we never lose our value in God's eyes. The worth of our lives comes not in what we do or who we are, but from Him to whom we belong. We are special. Let us never forget it. This is the lesson of today's Gospel, which tells us how Jesus chose Peter to be the leader of His church, even though Peter had denied Him three times.